Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
And welcome to the Investor Coaching Show. Paul Winkler, Ira Work, talking money and investing. Again, if you got questions you want to run by us here, you know, it's like we, you can throw that out there. It's on the website. It's just the easiest way to ask them. You go to paulwinkler.com and then you go to the content tab on the website and you can shoot a question our way and we can walk through that kind of stuff with you.
So, you know, we were talking earlier about cryptocurrency and gold.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think that one of the reasons why gold is going up, and you said the demand. And mm-hmm. I think the demand
You can get it in Costco now.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's kind of like remember Gene Kennedy when the shoe shine guy?
No.
The story of the patriarch Kennedy is getting his shoes shined.
Uh-huh.
In the 1920s. Uh-huh. And the shoe shine, you remember this story?
Yeah.
I figured he did. And basically he goes, wow, I'm buying this stock, that stock. And, you know, the shoe shine guy's, you know, doing that. And he's going, uh-oh, the shoe shine guy's buying stock. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And he literally missed the Great Depression, the stock market crash of 1929, because he got out because the shoe shine guy. Nothing against shoeshine guys, but, you know, he looked at it and he says the uneducated public was getting into stocks and they were into the euphoria of the late 20s, the roaring 20s. And he said, this is kind of crazy. And now you can buy gold at Costco.
But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there are some very famous people who know absolutely nothing about investments, nothing about the economy, that make a lot of money pretending to be other people, pretending to be really smart, scaring people, and they're believable, called actors.
And oh, sure.
They're doing commercials and scaring people.
Oh, sure.
And the people are demanding to buy gold. Plain and simple.
I had some very well-known actors that wanted to do commercials for us for a cost.
Of course.
They didn't care whether they knew what we did. That was the funny thing.
Right.
And I was like, no, thank you.
And that's what I like about, you know, the guys during the week that actually talk about us, is they've actually gone through our education.
Sure. You know, so there was something that I thought you'd find interesting, Ira. Will banks finally have to pay you more for your savings? Was the article from Wall Street Journal. Shares of banks, including J.P. Morgan. Now, we just went through that little audio clip where mm-hmm. J.P. Morgan's like, we have no clue where interest rates are going to go. We have no clue what's going to happen next. But anyway, they're mentioned again here. J.P. Morgan Chase fell Friday after mostly static projections on core net interest income. For all the talk about rising deposit costs, which would be interest rates that banks have to pay for your deposits, the typical bank isn't yet paying much on things such as savings accounts, but that could soon change. You know, so some people are getting decent payment for interest rates. I mean, you know, but a lot of people are still getting, I've seen some pretty lousy interest rates out there still. Part of the trouble seems to be that even the biggest banks can't entirely get a handle on what will happen with deposit pricing this year. That's a problem. Because basically you go and you start to pay really high interest rates, or you lock in high interest rates, and all of a sudden interest rates drop in the marketplace because the economy goes backward on you and you've got problems. You know, a lot of people think, oh, banks, you know, safe, bank, you know, they're synonymous, those two terms, bank, safe, and safe bank. But not necessarily Silicon Valley Bank, and, you know, you have some of the issues that you can run into. Although each of the reporting banks saw their interest-bearing deposit costs rise more slowly subsequently in the first quarter than they did in the fourth quarter of 2023, there were warnings that repricing isn't over yet, and hence that the much-hoped-for inflection back to growth and net interest income can't yet be called. Now, it says news of deposit competition won't be a surprise to anyone who has walked past a bank branch window lately. Because you're seeing the ads all over the place. Hey, look what we're paying. Look what we're paying. Oh, no, come over to our bank. Look what we're paying, right? As of late March, more than 730 banks in the U.S. were marketing one-year $10,000 CDs with rates over 4%, according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. Now, here's what I find happens, and I think this is really, really critical. A lot of people look at this stuff and they go, wow, you know, the interest rates, what if they go up and they're 7%, let's say? Or let's say that they're 8%. And they think, well, in the recent past history, stock markets haven't been that great a return. The returns haven't been that great. So shouldn't we just go and put all our money in fixed rate investments if market returns, let's say over a 10-year period, just I'm going to throw that out there just as an example. Let's say the stock market returns in an asset class were like 6% over a period of time, just to use that as an example. Not that, you know, I'm not pulling that from any particular number, but I want you to get a concept here that I think is critical. If the rate of return over a period of time of, let's say, 10 years was 6% in an asset class, and all of a sudden CDs come out paying 7%, let's say. And again, I'm making up that number. That number is not real right now either. But I want you to get this concept. What would the inclination of an investor be? It would be to pull your money out of stocks that had a 10-year return of 6 and put it into something with a guaranteed return of 7, if you're following me. Okay? Now, if we think about this, when did this happen in history? This happened in the 1980s. Many of us, including Mr. Ira Work across from me, lived through this. Ira was in the business during this period of time. The rate of return for one-month Treasury bills from January of 1980 through December 31st of 1989, that 10-year period was 8.89%. Now, if you were an investor in U.S. stock markets in the 1970s, that was significantly better than the return of large U.S. stocks during the 1970s. And this is what a lot of people did. If you don't learn from history, you are doomed to repeat it, okay? Now, I'm not saying this is a guarantee what's going to happen, and I have no clue. If anybody knows me, knows that I don't try to predict the future. But I want you to get a concept here that I think is critical, because this is why investors fail. Because they don't understand this concept right here. If at the beginning of the 1980s, the cost of capital, as Ira just described, which is the concept that there's a cost to use your money, is 8% with no risk, what would be the cost of capital possibly if there is a risk, higher or lower? If there is a risk, the cost of capital would be
higher.
Higher. Leviticus nails it. Yes.
10 points.
Yes. Now, what happened to the S&P 500 during that decade? Remember, Treasury bills, 8%. 17.55. That's huge. I mean, that's over 100% more return. I don't know exactly what it is, but that's a lot. If you look at large value stocks as measured by the FAMA French Large Value Research Index, 20% return versus 8. If you look at microcap stocks over that same period of time, about 4 percentage points per year higher. Okay, so that's pretty significant. Now, if we look at international large companies, 21% return over that same. And again, you know, what is going to happen? I don't know. But, you know, you take $10,000 at 8% and that's $21,000. You take that same $10,000 at 23% return, which was the return of small international stocks, and it's $79,000. Okay, so get almost $80,000 versus 21. Almost four times as much money. Okay, so what was the cost of capital for international stocks during that decade? Significantly higher. See, that's what we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but recognize that if there is more risk, there is greater expected. You'll always hear me use the term expected return, because you don't know what returns will be. So abandoning markets is a really bad idea, you know, when it really gets down to it, because what was the problem during the 1980s that caused interest rates to be so high? Inflation. And you don't have protection against inflation. But yet, Ira, you brought up something in the last hour. Mm-hmm. You talked about annuities.
Yep.
And I was cleaning up my car because in the back of my car, I keep radio stuff.
And on the bottom, you found Guilty. Stuff on annuities.
Guilty. I did. I found something on annuities. And what it was fascinating study. They did a study on variable annuities, which would be annuities that you can invest in stock market investments versus fixed annuities. And the study was looking at sales data on fixed versus variable annuities. Mm-hmm. And the correlation with the stock market.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's look at this.
If you have a good stock market return, what do you think would sell more? If you have a variable annuities or fixed annuities, if you have stock, absolutely.
Variable. Yeah.
Because we got a story.
Right.
We can sell, hey, look at what the stock market's doing. And you can benefit from that in our annuity. Now, if the stock market had a bad year, what do you think is going to sell more?
Fixed.
Absolutely.
And better yet, here's what would sell even better than a fixed interest rate annuity. A fixed index annuity.
Which is basically a fixed annuity. Let's not confuse it. I just want to make the point. It's fixed because you look at it as mostly options contracts, but you can possibly benefit from the movement of the market.
But you can give people the false belief that they're going to participate in the returns of the market.
Yeah, I didn't want to confuse him, though.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, you didn't mind confusing him. But, you know, he's right. He's right. Technically, Ira is right. He's right.
I want them to see that there's three different type of annuities that are being sold right now.
Yeah.
There's the fixed interest rate annuity. There's the fixed index annuity where the salesman can tell you you can participate in the market without the risk. And then there's the variable annuity, which has the risk of the market.
But this study is only looking at fixed interest rate annuities versus variable, okay? So you would think probably based on, you know, how we kind of point out on this show that people chase returns, that after a market downturn, people will buy fixed annuities, which is really what you're thinking about. If I'm looking at going to CDs or I'm looking at going, taking my money and moving away from stock market investments because interest rates at banks are higher. Remember, it's a similar concept here. We're talking about fixed investments. The correlation, if you have a negative correlation, that means that things move opposite each other.
Right.
Right. So if you have a bad stock market, you would think that fixed investments the sales would go up, that they would go opposite each other. And indeed, that's exactly what you see. The variable fixed correlation negative 0.67 for variable versus fixed investments. S&P 500, which would be equated to large U.S. stocks. It's an index tracking 500 big companies in the U.S. versus fixed annuity sales correlation, -0.65. It's exactly what you'd expect. In other words, this is what investors do. That's what they do. It is an instinctive thing that we go totally opposite of what we should. And it is because who is this being sold by? Professional financial advisors. Annuities aren't bought. They are
sold
by professional financial advisors. This is why I rail constantly against the investment industry, because they are as big a part of this problem as anything.
Well, you know, you say by professional financial advisors, I say they're sold by commission-driven salesmen.
But they call themselves financial advisors.
Well, you know what? I mean, there are people who are very confused about their identity today.
Paul Winkler, Investor Coaching Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20-plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, back here on the Investor Coaching Show, Paul Winkler, along with Ira Warwick, talking about money and investing. Stock market could get an earnings boost.
Well, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It got an earnings boost. We could have. But why it's okay missing out? Now, this is Market Watch. And I think this is instructive for investors. Because, you know, what I was just talking about is how in the 1980s, investors would have, because they saw high interest rates, missed out on big market returns that occurred, and many did. I mean, there were articles, remember, Ira?
Death of equities.
Oh, yeah.
What year was that?
1979.
Yeah.
Business Week. Yeah.
Death of equities. That makes you want to invest, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Let me do that. I want to put my money in something that's dead. I mean, so, you know, and what happened, of course, is you had a
five times increase in value in the S&P 500, an eightfold increase, and then you had, you know, in small, you know, stocks, you know, small international stocks, you know, did tremendous, as we just talked about. But, you know, stock markets could get an earnings boost, but why is it okay missing out on it? Well, this was a FOMO, fear of missing out. They said that it's a well-known social media phenomenon. Now one investment strategist says she is OMO. And I'm like, oh great. What's OMO stand for? O-M-O. It's okay missing out. That's a new one. When it comes to this year's market rally. Why? Because she's nervous about earnings and how prices have gotten. Oh boy, time for a little education about prices and earnings. One of the things that you look at when you look at earnings is look at forward earnings. What are earnings expected to be? Don't look at past earnings. A lot of times people look at P/E ratios and they don't recognize that what they're looking at is what the earnings were over the past year. We don't care about what the earnings are past year.
Nope.
That horse is out of the barn.
That's right. No, that horse finished the race.
That's right. Now, if we look at forward earnings, we still see that they're a little bit pricey, but they're within reason for the S&P 500, which is 21, which is higher than historically normal.
All right,
but here's the thing. Go ahead.
Well, let me kind of clear, you know, make, give a simple analogy to clear that up. When COVID happened and the world shut down, nobody knew what kind of sales were going to happen, when companies were going to be able to start selling stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they couldn't project what sales would be. Mm-hmm. They couldn't project what earnings would be.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they couldn't project what the future price of the stock will be.
Yeah.
Therefore, people got out of the stock market figuring, let me go to something safe. At least I can get 0.2% interest in my savings account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that hurt.
All right. So that's just a very simple explanation of why the stock market goes up or why the stock market goes down. It's based upon what is the worldwide, the collective intelligence of all the investors out there, let's say 7 billion people, what do they think is going to happen? Now, you might just be buying mutual funds, but this is what your mutual fund manager is looking at.
But what did we just say a second ago? Because you said you couldn't predict, you couldn't project, right?
Right, that's correct.
What did we just say? This is what we said. We basically played an audio clip for you. And that audio clip was basically saying that it was JP Morgan. We don't know what interest rates are going to do. That's another factor in earnings.
Well, I know that.
And yet they have some of the best researchers on the planet, and they can't figure that out.
Right. And Jamie Dimon, who is probably one of the smartest guys on Wall Street, he's saying and shouting and banging the drum and saying
yes,
interest rates have to come down, otherwise the we're going to have a tough economy going forward. Then there are different articles that are talking about interest rates may not be changed this year at all. So nobody knows what's going to happen.
And the other issue is that if we look at what this person's talking about, markets being high priced, what market? What market?
Compared
and there is the problem. Most investors are so stinking concentrated in big U.S. companies because that's what target date funds do. That's what the default position in your 401k normally is. Those types of investments are the default position. And yes, it is higher than, but you have markets around the world, international small value stocks selling at $8 compared to 20 for every dollar of earnings. You got emerging markets value stocks, $8. You got international, you got international value stocks selling at $9 for every dollar of earnings versus 20 for large U.S. I'm not saying, gee, go load up an international small value. Get this. I'm not saying that. I am saying that different markets are selling for vastly different prices right now. And you can't just make a blanket statement that all markets are overpriced. You just simply can't make that statement.
No, and to give you a very clear analogy of this, just go to your local mall. And you're going to see all different types of stores. You're going to see jewelry stores. You're going to see men's clothing. You're going to see women's clothing. You'll see sporting. I mean, you'll probably find a hat store, a store that just sells hats. You know, as opposed to go to your nearest Kmart. Go to your nearest Sears, where there's just one store, or actually none, because I can't find a Kmart. I can't find a Sears. But go look at the market. Look at it like you do, the Green Hills Mall or wherever you live in, the one in Murfreesboro or Cool Springs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one big shopping center, and that's what the stock market is.
And I talked a little bit earlier about how there was a guy in CNBC basically saying if we look at the import prices, we're not seeing the inflation there. What if all of a sudden now international markets do way better, or the U.S. economy weakens, the dollar weakens? Because if the dollar weakens, that because it takes more dollars to buy international things, if the dollar weakens, because that's what that means, then all of a sudden a whole different market benefits. And again, I am not telling you change your portfolio based on a prediction of Paul's prediction of the future. That is not the point I'm making here. The point I'm making is that too often people make blanket statements. They scare investors at the very worst times. And that is a problem. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.